Chapter 4. The Big Idea. The Otis family were all at breakfast, talking about the ghost. "I'm annoyed," said Mr. Otis, "that he didn't accept my little gift. Ungrateful fellow." "How rude," said Georgie. "Very rude," said Harry. "Well, it wasn't very polite to throw pillows at him," said Virginia. "I don't wish the fellow any harm," said Mr. Otis, "but we can't have chains clanking around all night. We really can't." Breakfast over, everyone trooped into the library to find Mrs. Umney standing by the fireplace. She pointed to the floor and said,
"Leave what you find well alone, or trouble will surely visit this home."
"I do not believe it," said Washington. "It's back." They all looked on the floor. There was the stain again. This time it was more purple than red. "Very odd," said Mrs. Otis. "Very odd indeed." And for the rest of that week, the stain kept coming back. Every day Washington would clean it up, and every morning it would be there again. Even stranger, the colour kept changing. On the third morning, it was a dull red. On the fourth morning, it was a sort of orange. Then on the fifth day, it was purple again. And on Saturday, a vivid green. At this point, Virginia began to wonder. Something was falling into place. Up in his room, Sir Simon was also thinking things over. He was getting bored with the bloodstain. He had been waiting for a really good idea. And on Sunday it came. The big one. He grinned to himself. There'd be no more "my dear fellows" and no more "pots all-purpose anything." If the family weren't driven out of their wits and on the boat back to the USA within the week, he'd give up haunting forever. He set to work immediately. It was the dead of night. As soon as he was sure that they were all sleeping, he flitted down to the big hall. There it was, the magnificent suit of armour worn by Sir Archibald Canterville in the Battle of Biggin's Bulge in 1494. And what a fearsome thing it was! It had a helmet from which his piercing red eyes would gleam like fire, a jagged battle-axe, and horrible spiked ball and chain. He chuckled to himself. When the Otis family saw this lot clanking towards them, they'd wish they'd never been born, let alone set foot in Canterville Chase. He crept up to it ever so carefully, but then he slipped and stumbled. There was an awful creaking noise, then ouch! The whole clanking lot fell on top of him. Sir Simon dragged himself out from under half a ton of heavy steel. His knees were grazed and his foot hurt horribly. Then there they were, Mr. Hiram Otis and his three awful sons in their nightclothes. The older boy held up a candle. They were staring at him as if they just hadn't seen a ghost. Then, ping, 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 those hateful twins were firing pea-shooters. Mr. Otis stepped forward. "Sir," he cried, "hold up your hands and surrender." "Surrender? Him? The Canterville ghost?" Sir Simon was stunned. This was the final straw. He shrieked with rage and swept like a whirlwind up the stairs, blowing out Washington's candle as he did so. By the time he reached the top of the stairs, his foot was hurting like mad. But he had one last secret weapon, his ghastly cackle. He had always had great success with this. He once turned a baronet's hair from black to white in a single second. He took a deep breath and laughed his most horrible laugh. The old hall rang and rang again with its fearful echo. A door opened, and there was Mrs. Otis, standing in a fluffy blue dressing gown. She held out another bottle. "Poor chap, you don't sound well at all," she said. "Here, take this. It's Pott's cure-all syrup. It works for everything from tummy ache to sore throats. Take two spoonfuls before you go to bed. By morning you'll be as right as rain." Sir Simon was beside himself with rage. What would it take to prove to these Otises that they had a real 100% spook under their noses? but then he heard the clatter of footsteps on the stairs. The pinging of pea-shooters was getting nearer. He fled. Back in his room, Sir Simon broke down and cried. Those dreadful twins. They couldn't be more than 9. He was 399. No respect at all for their elders. And the rest of them, with their candles and pots this and pots that. But the worst thing, the absolute worst thing, was that he hadn't been able to wear the suit of armour. He had been so looking forward to that. He spent the next 3 days recovering, getting up only to put back the stain in the library. But he had already started on his next plan.